Where is God when trouble comes? Has it ever seemed to you like God is hidden? This is not just a contemporary question, but one that even biblical authors repeatedly raise. For example, Malachi writes, "Where is the God of justice?" The psalmist likewise asks, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? How long will the wicked triumph?" The prophet Habakkuk writes, "Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" The prophet Jeremiah writes of this repeatedly. "Why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Why have these things come upon me?" And even Jesus, the greatest victim of undeserved suffering, asked while suffering on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So where is God when it hurts? Is he absent? Has he forgotten about us? Never. Sadly, we live in a fallen world, one pervaded by sin and by evil, under the temporary rule of an enemy. But there's good news. Even though things may seem very bleak now, we can be assured that God will fulfill all his promises in the end. We can be sure that God hears our prayers, and one day he will make all things right. I explain this and how we might faithfully pray in the dark, so to speak, even as we await the fulfillment of his promises in my book, Why We Pray. Again, God will fulfill all his promises in the end. How many of his promises? All of them. The God of the Bible always keeps his promises, and he cares deeply about his people. The God of the Bible is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. In other words, a covenantal God. That is, he is a God who makes covenants with people and always keeps his covenants. What's a covenant? A covenant relationship is a kind of pact or agreement, a bit like a marriage, since God's covenant relationships are always grounded in his love for his people. In fact, still today, a marriage is sometimes called a marriage covenant. The covenants God makes with his people include his promises to bless his people. Specifically, the covenants God makes with his people in the Bible are not simply legal agreements filled with do's and don'ts, but they are built on God's love for his people, and everything flows from that. God promises his people certain blessings and privileges that he will provide in this relationship. But the people have a choice as well. They can reject covenant relationship with God, even as a husband or wife can decide to leave and divorce their spouse. Doing so, however, will forfeit, at least temporarily, some of the blessings of that relationship. Sadly, God's people repeatedly broke the covenant. And though God did not forsake them as his people, when the people pushed him away, he could not do otherwise than withdraw his protection from them. In one such instance, after generations of repeated rebellion, in which over and over again the people had rejected God and broken covenant relationship with him, pushing God away, eventually there was no remedy, as 2 Chronicles 36:16 describes it. God gave the people over to their own choices to reject him. Then the empire of Babylon swept in and conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and ruled over the people, sending many of them into exile. This brought great hardship and near despair to the people. It seemed to some as if God had abandoned them, though really it was the other way around. God did not abandon his people, they abandoned him. In this context, the people cried out while in Babylonian exile, "Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth?" The specific promises the psalmist asks about here were part of a covenant called the Davidic covenant. This was the covenant God made with David, the David from the famous story of David and Goliath. Among other things, God had promised David, "Your seed, your descendants, I will establish forever, and build up your throne to all generations." And his seed, his descendants, shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Further, God had said, I will set up your seed, specifically speaking of Solomon, after you. And I will establish his kingdom. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your king shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Well, what about this promise? Again, some doubted. When Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and sent many of the people into exile, they thought the line of kings that ruled in Jerusalem, descended from David, had come to an end. So it seemed like God's promise that David's seed would rule forever was broken. But then came Jesus Christ the righteous. He was and is the son of David, the seed or descendant of David who will rule forevermore. He was the same one prophesied of right after Adam and Eve fell, when God said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. All promises will be fulfilled through him, Jesus, the son of the promise. In covenant, God binds himself to us and seals it with his blood. The Bible says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is love, covenant love. People today also wonder if God will keep his promises, specifically the promise of Christ's return. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4 says, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This supposed delay was foretold. God is doing everything he can to save everyone he can. The supposed delay was foretold. God is doing everything he can to save everyone he can. And Christ, the one who gave himself for us on the cross, and thus can be fully trusted, promised, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the great hope. Our deliverer will return. He will come back and take his children to glory forevermore.